All right. How many of y'all ready to get in the Word of God this morning? So we are going to start a new series this morning called Share, Going Viral with the Good News. Now, young people tell me that when something goes viral, that means that a lot of people see it, right? So like if your Instagram post, your TikTok, or whatever it is, if it goes viral, that means thousands of people have viewed it, and maybe in the millions. And so we share a lot of things, right? How many of y'all ever hit the share button on your social media? Anybody hit the share button on your social media? If you're friends with Eric Hiley, he will share with you a lot of funny cartoons and little memes. So if you want to laugh throughout the week, be friends with Eric Hiley. He will make sure of that. And, you know, we share many things. We share pictures of our family. We share pictures of special moments, things that interest us. Some people share things that gross them out. And so we're always sharing things. Well, here's what we're going to challenge over the next several weeks. We got to share the good news. We got to hit the share button of our life, and we got to share the good news of Jesus. So, because the good news, it goes viral. It goes to the ends of the earth. What do you think? All right, so we're going to get in Matthew chapter 9. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. I know this is going to be a long stand, but I think you can handle it. We're going to read Matthew 9, and the sermon title this morning is Why Share? Why should we share? Matthew chapter 9. This is Jesus, and getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on the old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved." And while he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." And Jesus turned and seeing her said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had put it outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the little girl arose. And the report of this went through all the district. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all the district. And as they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, Never has anything like this been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the prince of demons. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have the hope of the new covenant of grace through Jesus, and that Jesus makes broken people whole. And so, Lord, today I pray that if there's anyone here that's never trusted in you, look to you, that today would be a day that they would be made whole. Lord, those of us who know you, may you give us a heart and eyes of compassion to see those around us. So, Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today, so plain that a child could understand. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and to accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, I would keep that out. Get in the habit of bringing your Bible. As we look at the Bible, as we read through the text, as we look at the message, we'll learn how to read Scripture and also study Scripture as we look at the message. Because when you take Matthew chapter 9 as a whole, did you notice something? There was a lot of action, wasn't there? It was like Jesus was moving through, he was doing ministry, and he was encountering a lot of broken people. A lot of people who needed something to drastically change in their life. We're first introduced to a man who's a paralytic and he cannot walk. We don't know how long he was like this. Maybe he was born this way, or maybe there was a tragic accident that caused this. But he had friends who loved and cared for him, and they had this one overwhelming, convincing thought that if I can get my friend to Jesus, he can make him whole. Now that is something worth sharing. What do you think? They were like, man, I'd love for my friend to be able to go with us and to enjoy playing and to fellowship, and he can't walk. And so they pack him to find Jesus. Why? Because they've heard that Jesus can do great things, and they think, well, Jesus can do something with my friend. And they bring him to Jesus. And notice what the Bible says. It says, and when he saw their faith, when he saw the friend's faith, how many of y'all believe that your faith that God can do something in someone's life can make all the difference in the world? So then seeing their faith, and so he is impressed by the faith of their friends, because their friends had a belief that if they can get their friend to Jesus, he could make their friend whole. And so they bring him, and seeing their faith, he says, your sins are forgiven. And everybody's excited about that, but the religious folks, Pharisees, oh, they're upset. Well, he's blaspheming, because only God can forgive sins. But let's think about this. Who is Jesus? He is what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. All right. He is God. He can take that which is broken and make it whole. That's what he does. And so he moves on. He meets this guy by the name Matthew. He calls Matthew to be one of his disciples. Now, Matthew wasn't a like man. He was a tax collector, and his fellow Jewish people didn't like him, because what he would do is, all tax collectors would do this, is they would overcharge the interest that you had to pay Rome, and they would keep it for themselves. That's where they made extra money. And so him, Matthew, being a Jew, was looked upon by his fellow Jews as a turncoat that he's now working for the Roman government, which they did not like. So they despised tax collectors. But Jesus calls out Matthew because his life is broken and he needs to be made whole. And Matthew invites all of his friends, and it says there's tax collectors and sinners there, and Jesus is there reclining at table. Why? Well, the Pharisees didn't like this. Don't you know what kind of people those are? Don't you know you're not supposed to be hanging around those folks? They call him out, and he says, well, it's not the well who need a physician, but the sick, right? I mean, like when something goes wrong in your body, you go to a doctor. You should. Now, you should get your health checkups. You should do your wellness checkup. Ain't that right, doctor? And you should be able to, you should do that. But if you're well, then the doctor just says, you're good. Just keep doing what you're doing. But if you're not well, then they have a plan to treat, right? They put you on a plan. Here's how we're going to treat this. Why? Because if you're sick, you need healing. And so Jesus says, these people, they need healing. Now let's correct something. Let's make sure that we know that when Jesus, when he was hanging out with sinners, and a friend of sinners, he wasn't engaging in the sinful activities that they were engaging in, okay? We got to clarify that today because we have some preachers in our culture now that thinks that if you're going to witness to drunk people, that you got to get drunk with them. I mean, I'm serious. We have pastors who say that if you're going to witness to those who drink, you got to drink. That's not true. Jesus never sinned, never, okay? But he did know that he needed to be where sinful people were, and he had to have friendships with broken people because he said they're sick, they need to be healed, they need a doctor, and Jesus is the great physician. How many of y'all believe that if you can get your friend who was lost in the presence of Jesus, he can make them whole? And so he's making people whole, okay? Then what happens in the story? Then we move that there's this interaction about the new wine. You know, what's the new wine? What's that all about? Well, Jesus is coming to bring the new covenant. At Calvary's cross, he will cut the new covenant. When he gave the cup, he said, "This is the covenant of my blood. This is the new covenant." The Old Testament was pointing to the Messiah who was come. Who was to come, and Jesus was bringing it. He was bringing the Old Testament alive right to them there. No longer would it be that you follow the laws written on tablets of stone, but Jesus came to write the law on the heart. He came to take broken people and make them whole. He says, so you don't put old wine in new wineskins, you put new wine in new wineskins. And he is the new wine. He moves further. He keeps going. There's a girl. There's a girl that dies. And this father, now think about that. As a father, as a mother, you lose your child. You're panicked. You don't know what to do. You run to Jesus. And this man runs to Jesus. Why does he run to Jesus? He's probably heard that Jesus has done some miracles. And he thinks, well, if Jesus can do miracles for this family, then maybe he can do a miracle for me. And so he runs to Jesus. And he's like, I need you to help me, Jesus, because my daughter, she's died. And I know that if you will just touch her, she'll live again. He's broken. His world's fallen apart. He's crushed. And he knows if he could just get his daughter in the presence of Jesus, then he could make her whole. And as he is going to this to this daughter. He gets a little interruption, right? It's the story of the lady that has the issue of blood. She's been bleeding for 12 years. She's tried everything that she knows to do. She's spent all kinds of money on doctors, on medicine. She's tried the herbal treatments. She's tried everything that she could think of to try to help her situation, and nothing was working. But she had a mindset that said, you know, if I could just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, I can be healed. Oh, that would just preach all in of itself right there. Just that story right there. If I could just but touch. Why? Because she believed that if she could get in the presence of Jesus, her brokenness could be made whole. That's worth sharing, isn't it? That's worth telling somebody about. And so she's in that crowd, and she sees Jesus moving. I wonder what's going on in her mind. If I could just get Jesus. And she's probably, having to, you've been in crowds before, right? And she's making her way, and here she's going. She reaches out, and she touches his garment. In another account, it says the power of God left Jesus, and he felt it. And it says here in this text that he turns to her, he sees her. He sees her, and he says, woman, your faith has made you well. Because she believed that one touch from Jesus could make her whole. He continues on the journey to the little girl. He gets to the house. He says, she's just asleep. They start laughing at him. This man's crazy. So he removes him. And he goes up into the room, and he touches the girl's hand. He lifts her up, and she becomes alive. Because that father knew that if I could just get my daughter in the presence of Jesus, he can take what's dead and bring it alive. He can take what's broken and make it whole, because that's what Jesus does. That's worth sharing. Amen? We got to hit the share button. Go ahead, look at your name. You got to hit the share button. Now, that's going to be your mouth, right? You're going to be telling. It could be typing. It could be posting. It could be doing that. But it's sharing. You got to hit the share button. Great things. Jesus takes broken things and makes it whole. Then we're introduced to these two men. They're blind. They can't see. We don't know if they've been born blind. We don't know if they've never seen anything. If they've been born blind and they've never seen a sunset, they've never seen a sunrise, they've never seen the moon, they've never seen the stars. They've never seen their family that they love, that they can hear. If they had children, they could embrace their kids, but they couldn't see their kids. And these two men, they wanted to see. They were broken. They needed to be made whole. And they longed to have their sight so that they could see once again. And they knew that if they could get in the presence of Jesus, he takes broken things and makes them whole. And Jesus says, you believe I can do what you believe I can do? And they say, yeah, we believe you, Jesus. And he heals them, and they're able to see. Because Jesus has the power to take what is broken and make it whole. Just being in the presence of Jesus changes everything. Then he continues to go on, and he encounters this man that has a demon that's stopped his tongue, that's made him mute. He's not been able to speak. And he really liked to speak. And he knows that if he can be in the presence of Jesus, then he can make things whole. And so what's Jesus do? He rebukes the demon. The demon leaves, and the man's tongue is loosed, and he begins to speak again, because if you get in the presence of Jesus, he can take what is broken and make it whole. Did you see the rhythm of chapter 9? I mean, chapter 9 is action, 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 action of people who are broken, who Jesus is making whole. And then it says, and Jesus went throughout the villages, teaching, preaching, and healing all the diseases. What was he teaching? He was teaching that the kingdom of God was near. What was he preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. He was revealing himself to them. What was he preaching? He was preaching the good news of the kingdom, that the Messiah that they were longing for, he's here, he's now. And that if you come to me, you will be made whole. And we read about all these healings that he did, and I believe that those are foreshadowing realities of the kingdom that we will be in. I think that everything that Jesus did, all of the healings, it was a sign to us showing that in his kingdom, this is how it's going to be. So when Jesus returns, and he will, guess what? There's not going to be any sickness, no more dying, no more pain, no more curse, no more heartache, no more sorrow. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus, because when Jesus is there, he makes broken things and he makes us what? Whole. He's preaching the kingdom of God. And then it says this. And when he looked upon the crowd, he was moved with compassion, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When he saw the crowd, he was moved with compassion. I did 3 funerals this week. And when I'm looking at those families, I see broken hearts. I see hearts that are broken. They lost someone they love. They'll never see, hear their voice, never be able to touch them. And, you know, in some funerals, if it's a person that's loved the Lord and lived their life for the Lord, it's almost, you can almost celebrate that, right? It becomes a time of worship. So on Monday, the funeral I did was for a family member. She was my papaw's sister. And she was the last one of them alive. Now, they had this singing that they did. They had some albums, and they'd go around, and they'd sing. I don't know why I didn't get that gene, but I didn't. But they did. And I'm doing the funeral, and I'm closing it. And I began asking questions like, I wonder what they're singing in heaven. Because now all the brothers and sisters and their mom that sang, and that they're all together in heaven because they all love the Lord, believed in Jesus. So I wonder what they're singing. I wonder if they're singing, "How Great Thou Art." I wonder what it is. And I'm building this up, and I'm building this up. And we have a song cue that we're going to play at the end. And I said, I wonder if they're singing this song. They hit play. And it's the song that says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I will see, when I take him by the hand and he leads me to the promised land. What a day that will be, because that's all I know of that song right now. But it's what a day, glorious day that will be. And as that was being sung, played, man, people began to sing. And everybody began singing the song, and it became a time of worship. And then someone in the back row, kind of like Pastor John, said, amen, and shouted out real loud. And everybody kind of jumped and said, you're like, well, what's going on? And we had a time of worship, because when you're in the presence of Jesus, he changes everything, and he takes broken hearts and makes them whole. Amen. He takes broken things and makes them, oh, it's what he does. And when we see people, we to be moved with compassion. One of the funerals I was at, it was a lady that she'd been here. She used to come to church all the time. I hadn't seen her in a long time. So after it was over, I just went to her and I said, hey, I miss seeing you in church. Because when he was moved with compassion, he then says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He says, pray earnestly. Just because we finished our 16-week series in prayer doesn't mean we don't pray anymore, right? He says, pray earnestly that God would send forth laborers for his harvest. Notice whose harvest it is. It's not my harvest. It's not your harvest. It's not the church's harvest. It's his harvest. How many of y'all know that God has people in this county and the surrounding counties, the places that you live in, that he will save by his grace, and he has chosen to use us to go out as laborers and to share the good news of Jesus? Somebody's got to hit the share button and tell the good news, because it's got to go viral, amen? So, you have a card that you received. It's a postcard. I'm going to challenge you this week to think about someone that you know that is broken, someone that doesn't know the Lord, someone that in the presence of Jesus. And I want you to write them a note this week. Maybe it's just, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. Maybe you write them something encouraging, uplifting. Maybe invite them to church, okay? And you mail it. Now, if you can't find a postcard stamp, bring it back next week. We'll stamp it and we'll mail it for you, okay? Now, everybody get your phone out, okay? Get your phone out. Some of you, stop playing what you're playing during the message. No, just kidding. Get your phone out. Now get your phone out. Now go to your clock setting. Go to your clock setting, okay? Go to your alarm clock, okay? We're going to set an alarm. We're going to set our alarm for 9:38. You can choose AM or PM. It's up to you. Or you can do both. 9:38. Like, what's strange? Why 9:38? Matthew 9:38. Pray earnestly. At 9:38, what would it be if at 9:38 everybody at Living Water just stops what they're doing right there, and that person that you're thinking about, that you need to write that letter to, that card to, that person that you know that's broken, that's far away from God, that doesn't have a relationship with God, and you pray for them. And you send that out this week. Throughout this series, we are going to go over a gospel presentation. And we're going to go over it every week. And then I'm going to give you some activities to do throughout the series, an app that you can download. And we're going to walk through this to kind of help us understand, so how can I communicate the gospel to someone that I know who is broken, who's far away from God? How do I share the gospel? It's called the three circles, and it goes like this. You see, God has a design for our life. And his design, we see in Genesis 1 and 2, was where everything was good, pure, perfect, where we could walk in the presence of God, where we could fellowship with the presence of God. And when we live life by God's design, we experience his presence and his blessing. But the problem is that we all reject God's design and think we can build our life better and we can do it better than him, and we don't want to listen to him. Well, the Bible calls that attitude sin. And sin separates us from God. You know, the Bible does say there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end leads to death. And when we ignore God's design for our life, it leads us to death or brokenness. We all know what brokenness feels like. It feels like emptiness. It feels like guilt. It feels like regret, shame, disappointment. And what we do is we often try to heal that brokenness by our own power and our own strength. So we all go different ways. Some of us try to find and heal our brokenness in having more money or more influence. Some of us try to do it through religion. Some of us through just pure escape. And so we find ourselves addicted to substance abuse, just trying to avoid and numb the pain. But what we'll realize is that our brokenness will never, we will never be able to fix our own brokenness. We think that brokenness is a bad thing, but it can be a good thing because it can lead us to the understanding that we need to be made whole, which leads us to the gospel. The gospel is a Bible word that means good news. And the good news is this, that Jesus is the Son of God who came and he lived the life that was perfectly designed. He'd never sinned. He lived it exactly like how God told him to live it. And he came to make us whole. And so the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wages of our sin was death. Our rebellion was death. So Jesus, when he was on the cross, he took our sin. He took our brokenness. He took our rebellion. And it says that God the Father laid it upon him. And when he was crucified on the cross, he took the place of my sin and your sin, and it was placed on Jesus. He was placed in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose again, proving that he was the Son of God and that he indeed has the victory over sin and death. And the Bible says that if we will repent and believe in Jesus, then we can be made whole. Repentance means changing our mind. It means agreeing that God's design is the way that we can be made whole. And so we trust that Jesus did die on the cross, that he did rise from the grave, and we believe him. The Bible says that if we believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose again, if we can believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. And then when he saves us and makes us whole, he gives us the power to recover and pursue God's original design for our life. And this pursuit is lifelong. It's a lifelong discovery of what it means to know the Lord Jesus. We pursue him, right? We pursue God through reading his word, being faithful and following him through believer's baptism, by being part of a church, by being obedient, by sharing the good news with other people, and by living a life that says, I am now a follower of Jesus, and I want to live for you, God. And the great thing about this is you can start right now wherever you are. You do not have to try to go get yourself fixed up before you can come to Jesus. Amen? Some people think, well, I've got so much sin in my life, I can't come to Jesus. I got to get some things straightened up first. That's not true. Doesn't work that way, right? How many of you all get cleaned up to take a bath? Huh? Oh, I'm so dirty, I got to get cleaned up. I got to go take a bath. No! That's what the bath does, right? You can't save yourself. You can't make yourself whole. But here's what I know. If you get in the presence of Jesus, you call upon his name, he will make you whole, and he will save you, and he will promise you eternal life forever. That's good news. That's worth sharing. So why share? Why share? Because Jesus came and he took the brokenness of people's lives and he made them whole. Now, this morning, I don't know where you are. There may be some of you may be broken. You may be You may be filled of regret. You may be filled of disappointment. You may be broken to the point where you think, God doesn't love me. Oh, he couldn't love me. I'm here to tell you, he does. How do I know he loves you, each and every one of you? Because he sent his son to die for you. And so this morning, if you need to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, experience salvation, if you need to be whole, he offers that today. And for those of us who know him, for those of us who have trusted, for those of us who have been forgiven and set free of our sin, there is someone that God needs to place on our heart, and he needs to burden you, he needs to burden me with eyes of compassion so that when we look at people, we don't quickly judge them. We don't look at them and say, oh, well, I bet he or I bet she. Oh, yeah, they're this and that. But that we would take the time to look at them as a human being that's been created in the image of God, that is broken and shattered. And that apart from God, they have no hope. And so when I go to work, I go with eyes of compassion. When I go to the store, I go with eyes of compassion. When I'm dealing with friends in the church, I go eyes of compassion. When I'm on the field, I have eyes of compassion. I see brokenness. And I know that Jesus is the one that can make them whole. And I share the good news of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you that you did for us what we could not do for ourselves, that you took all of our sin, our rebellion, our brokenness, our shame, our rejection of your design, and you covered the payment of our sin of death so that we might live eternally with you. This morning, Lord, would you heal broken hearts? Would you make people whole today? There's someone that needs to trust you. Someone needs to call upon you. And Father, I pray that you would burden us who know you with eyes of compassion to see those around us, and may we share the good news of Jesus. For it's in your name we do pray. Amen.